What time is it really? Is it 9:45? Is it 10:45? I think there's some people think it's 9:45. I'm glad you are here. Good to have you back, Guy. Good to see you sitting there. Praise the Lord. A couple of announcements as we get started this morning. First of all, if I didn't say it, we're glad to have you here at church start time. We are switching our live stream media to faithlife.com. So it will still play on Facebook for the live portion, but I think to see the replay, you have to go to faithlife.com. Is that right, Mike? Okay. So check that out. Don't forget to get church updates. Text alert to 22300. And we are looking for volunteers, as we always are, people who would commit to the ministry of the Lord. If you have time and talent, or one or the other, we need help with kids ministry, youth ministry, and building and grounds. We have a big, lots of property here, so people like to mow and pull weeds and plant flowers and those kind of things. This month's Operation Christmas Child is school supplies. Pens, pencils, sharpeners, erasers, crayons, and small notebooks are welcome. Next Friday, we have Ladies Night Out, March 19th at 7 p.m. If you have not done this yet, Morgan has us paint a picture together, and she's hiding back there. Can I tell them what it is this time? We're doing a beach scene, and actually we'll have some sand on it, I think. She's going to do it different this time. She's going to actually instruct while she's painting the picture, so we're going to kind of build on it. So if you haven't done it, it's a lot of fun. Group of 10 to 15 ladies. And it's cool to see everybody's talents come out. So we are doing table discussions. If you haven't been part of that yet, the message is cut a little bit short, and we meet at tables after the message and have discussion. Good time. Giving to the Lord. You can text to give. You can give in person at the Love My Church in-person buckets, is what I was going to say. Love My Church buckets out there. Online, or you can always mail it to us. Disciples service Wednesday, March 31st at 7 p.m. So this is when we do feet washing together, right? All right. So in preparation for today, I was thinking and reading a little bit last night about, have you noticed that our human tendency is to underestimate Jesus? Or maybe not even estimate him at all. We don't always take him into the picture, you know. We get so stuck in our circumstances and in how we see the world that we don't notice or comprehend what we are being offered by him. When we really experience relationship with Jesus, when we see his true identity and feel the impact of what he has done for us, it will clarify and solidify our own identity, and we won't be able to keep him to ourselves. We'll be compelled to share him. So this morning as we worship, let's really take some time to focus in on our relationship with him. Let it change us, renew our spirits. We invite you to stand and worship with us this morning.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Are your church? We need your power. Our lives, oh.
God, this morning, we thank you for this house that we're in. It is warm in here. It's beautiful outside. But God, we want your presence in here. We don't want just the furnace to be working. We want your presence to be here with us. And we believe it is. We believe that you are present with us because you reside within those you have come to know. And we just ask, God, that you would be with us as we worship you this morning, as we open your word, as we have fellowship with one another. For those who are watching online, God, you reach out to them and you touch them where they are too. We know, Lord, there are several who are sick, several who are just fighting a bug. And it's not COVID. It's something else. And so, Lord, they've been taken away from us today. We ask that your mercy would be on them, that your grace would be sufficient for them today to even be worshiping where they are. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Thank you for sharing with us this morning. It is, it's a good thing that we gather together. I think one of the works of the enemy is to isolate, to alienate, to separate. If he can do that in the body of Christ, if he can get the people of God to not connect and not join together, he's effectively disjointed the body. And when the body comes together to worship, as I would say, not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. Well, I think that we are in one of the most important series that this church has been in a long time. We talked in the fall about Nehemiah and about rebuilding and so on. But this particular series that we're in right now, I want to say that it's incredibly important for us to get what this is about. I just want us to jump in, all right? I want us to jump in this morning. It's about the mission. It's about the mission of God. We have to understand that God is a missional God. God has a mission. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has all of that, but he has this mission. He's always had a mission. And that mission, what is it? It's to help people find their way back to him. It always has been. That's why the Father sent the Son. That's why the Son sent the Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit sends us on that same mission. To help people find their way to him. That is his mission. That's our mission as well. It's the strategy that we're talking about. It's the blessing strategy in both in how we accomplish the mission and how we find or discover our own mission in it. This blessing strategy is put into practice through an acronym. It's the BLESS, the word bless. And each letter stands for one of the five core missional practices that God calls his people to do in working out their salvation, living out the Jesus life. He calls us to these practices. They're a reflection of who he was, so they should be a reflection of who we are. It's called the blessing strategy. It's both to accomplish the mission and also for us to experience our own mission within it. Bless. I just want to give you a brief rundown. Begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. We talked about that. If you're praying for people, it heightens your awareness of them, but it also instigates something in the realms of the Spirit where God begins to lead those people. And I've been reviewing that lately. And it's been pretty amazing how my intentional prayer for certain people has made a difference. Listen with care. It means listen to people and the places that God sends you to. Listen for what people are needing and how they might be, what they might be going through and how we can bless them. Being intentional about listening. Listening with care. Not just begin with prayer, but also listen with prayer or care. And then E, last week we talked about eating together, and then around your table groups you got a chance to actually eat together while you shared about the topic. That hospitality creates an environment where people begin to have this relational connection. And this week, this Sunday, it's brought to you by the letter S. For serve. To serve. To serve in love. And I want us to spend our time today looking at this missional practice in Bless, that is to serve. It has a power unlike the other two. It's really hands-on. And when it comes to the mission, many of us want to serve in such a way that it might be a big deal. It might be something that is on a grand scale. But sometimes God just calls us to everyday service, the smaller things, things that aren't necessarily a big fanfare. Well, everybody knows that Jesus served people. Jesus served people. He is our example. In Mark's gospel, there's this sentence about Jesus, Mark 10:45. It says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The best way to understand serving is to see how Jesus did it. How did he do it? So I want us to take a look at two different instances in the Gospels, one on John and also one in Mark today. The one I want us to take a look at today comes out of the Gospel of John. And it's a season that Jesus is in. I'll find a pulpit over here. It's the season that Jesus is in with his disciples. And that season is what we would call the Passion. That time where Jesus was spending a very intimate moment with his disciples. And it's what we do with our disciples service. It's the Last Supper. And Jesus is there with those who are his closest friends. And you're going to hear that from John chapter 13. And as you hear it, you'll see the words on the screen, but as you hear it, imagine yourself around that table with Jesus that night before he goes to the cross.
Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again, sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you were right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." In the Holy Scriptures, John 13, verses 1 through 17.
Jesus is our example of serving. Maybe you know the story, maybe you aren't quite aware of everything culturally. But that act of washing the feet was not something that a leader or a master would do, a teacher would do. It was something that a servant boy or girl would do. Someone who was the lowliest in the house would have the dirtiest job. And yet Jesus showed them that to be like him would take a humbling of pride and a humbling of the spirit, and loving people beyond what is comfortable. This is about the communion service or the disciples' service that we do on the Wednesday night of Holy Week. It truly is a blessed time to gather together with brothers and sisters to follow the example of Jesus and to know that what he called, what he showed us to do and we're called to do when we practice it. It's not about just doing foot washing once a year. It's more about learning to humble ourselves and serving one of, being reminded to serve others. To take off the robe and to put on the servant's towel. This is how we bless people And I want to encourage people to be a part of this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on March 31st. It gives you a change of perspective as we journey to the cross with Jesus. Well, the second example that I want to bring to us today is out of Mark 7, 31 through 36. The Gospel of Mark says this: Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, and then he spit and he touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said to him, "Ephphatah," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. Wow. This is a moment where people were overwhelmed with amazement. I know that I would be if I was there as well. As we unpack this story this morning, I want to pull out just some words that describe how Jesus served as our example to how we should serve in ways that we can bless the world around us. I want to note this in verse 32. It was about proximity. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. The people that Jesus served were always the people who were near him, right in front of him. They were close in proximity. Something that I've noticed about Jesus and this serving gig that he does is when it comes to the mission, Jesus is like working with people who are right by him, and it might be the simplest of things, it might be the most mundane of things, but we want something big. We want something big. We want to go to far off lands, or we want to see something amazingly big demonstrated. We would love to be able to walk around and heal people. Well, I'll talk about that in a moment. But a lot of times we want something big. And I want to suggest that what we are to be about is our neighbors. We're to be about those people who are near us, in proximity to us. We're not out to win a Nobel Peace Prize. We're not out to win the favor of men. We're out to show God that we trust him and we want to follow him in whatever way he would call us. It might be that if we're honest, the company that we work for, we didn't ask God about it. It was just a good job, so we took it. And we haven't thought about the proximity of the people who are there working alongside us. Maybe the house that we've purchased or the apartment that we go to live in, it might be bigger, it might be better. And so that was our motivation rather than the neighborhood we would be in with the people we would be with. There are a number of reasons why we choose what we choose, but for Jesus, it was about being in proximity. Now, in verse 31, it says this: that then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. You see, our missional God, he takes us where he wants us to go. Or he sends us where he wants us to go. Sometimes it's in our neighborhood. Sometimes he says it's time to relocate. Sometimes we need to move from where we are to another place, another job, who knows where it might be. There was a point in time where I remember Diana and Mark, the Thompsons, went to Africa and Zambia, and they said, "Man, what would it be like to live there? Just be there all the time." I don't know, is that still a dream to go back there? Yeah. See, maybe God's got a relocation for them. Maybe God's got a relocation for you. Maybe it's not from here to Zambia. Maybe it's from here to, I don't know. But are you asking God about that so you can be in proximity to the people that he wants your life to touch? Please hear what I'm saying about this. God has sent you to the people you are to serve, or he is going to send you to the people you are to serve. It matters not whether you're here or there. Wherever you are, that is where you're to serve. But if you're not where you're supposed to be, you need to get to where you're supposed to be so God can have you in the proximity of those you are to be loving and serving. Almost without exception, the people we are to serve or meant to serve will be in close proximity. They'll be right around us. You might say, well, who is that? Who would that be? Who would that be that's right around you in your life? Let me just stop and just pause for a moment and ask that question. God, who is around me? Who am I in proximity to that I could serve, that I could bless? The next thing I want to bring up here, look at verse 33. Jesus says he took him aside. You see, it was about perceptively. Perceptively, that's a tough one for me to say. Perceptively, we are to serve and bless. And after he took him aside, Jesus took this man away from the attention of the crowd. And generally, when Jesus did a miracle, he just did it publicly. He took him aside this time. But there was a reason for that, I believe. There was a reason why he took him aside. As a kid, I remember my dad taking me aside. It was a come to Jesus moment, or it was, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. It was one of those moments when someone takes you aside. Come here, I want to talk to you for a minute. It's not usually very good, but in this case, it was good. In this case, he took him aside because Jesus was being perceptive. He healed lots of people publicly. He didn't feel like he had to hide it, but this scripture tells us that this guy was deaf and that he had a speech impediment. That he didn't speak like everyone else did. Do you remember the kid at school who either had a lisp, or he got tongue-tied, or he stuttered or whatever, got teased. And every time this man opened his mouth, every time this man spoke, everyone knew he had an issue that might embarrass him. People would poke fun. Kids are bad. Adults can be worse. So he takes him aside, away from the crowd, and Jesus is serving this guy in a way that shows he understands this man's need. It's beyond the obvious, because he's serving him perceptively. Stephen Covey, an author, a writer several years ago, wrote a book called 7 Habits of Effective People, highly effective people. And he tells a story within this book about being an effective person, of being on a subway in New York. The train stops and this man gets on with a couple of boys. He sits down. The boys aren't really paying attention to anything. The subway's got quite a few people on it in the car, and these boys are running around. They're playing tag. They're making a lot of commotion, a lot of noise. And Covey is watching this all take place. And he can't take it anymore. So he goes up to the man and says, excuse me, you need to get control of your boys. You need to show them that they need to be respecting other people. And the man just, he comes out of this fog. And he says, yeah, you're right. It's just that we just came from the hospital and their mother just died. In that moment, Covey realized that he doesn't know necessarily what's going on with a person until he acts perceptively. And he seeks to understand. He seeks to know what they're going through, to feel what they're feeling, to experience what they're experiencing. yeah, I just don't know what to do. I really don't know what to say to them. Their mother just died. The feeling that you get at that end of that story, that feeling that you get, that makes it personal, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you're drawn in. And you say, this is something that I feel for this individual. You say, oh. Have you ever been in a conversation with a person, a friend, and they're telling you a story about something that's going on in their life or something that just happened, and all you can say is, oh. And you're drawn in, and you begin to feel it because you're now entering it personally. Personally. If we're going to bless people through serving, we need to bless them personally. It's so much more convenient not to get my hands messy. It's so much more convenient not to get my mind or my emotions engaged. Is there somewhere I can just give $20? Can I just, I'll write a check for $100. You need $1,000? As long as I don't have to get that engaged, I'm better off. But we aren't really. To be on mission, to be on His mission, to help people find their way back to Him, it's going to take a personal engagement, a personal involvement. And for the church, it makes the difference in the fellowship as well. He says, Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha. In the original language, this language, it's like a sigh, a deep sigh. It's not just it's a deep sigh where somebody begins to really engage and really feel it. It's more like a groan. It's a groan where this individual now feels what this person, and without even thinking, they just go, oh. Can we bless people in serving that deeply, that personally? I hope we can. When someone's going through something and we are willing to engage with them, they feel less alone. Less alone. And Jesus wasn't just some serving machine going around touching people and blessing them. He was entering into every moment that He had with everyone. And that's why He calls us to that, because that's the way to do it. That's the effective way to do it. It's not just giving them a touch. It's giving them a blessing. It's giving them that deep, deep sense of connection with yourself. He was deeply affected by everyone that He came in contact with. Serving others, really, to be effective, means we've got to get personal with it. It needs to. If we're going to make an impact, if we're going to be the impacting people that God wants us to be in the Northwest area here of Blackland Township, maybe into Jackson City, maybe into the county, I don't know. But as we do that, we also need to realize that it needs to be powerful. It's not just proximity, it's not just perceptively, it's not just personally, but it's powerfully. Powerfully. What do I mean by that? Well, I don't want us to just run past this little event in the story. Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means to be opened. To be opened. And at this, the man's ears were opened. There was a power in his serving. There was a power in his blessing. There was a power in his touch. And his tongue was loosened and he began to speak plainly. In serving, Jesus used and accessed God's power, and we should do the same. Easy for you to say, Pastor, you've got all the healing gifts. No, I don't. But what I do have is the same thing that you and I each have, and that's the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, from the grave, lives in me. We need to believe as we engage with people who are in need. We know that Jesus was able to do miracles, but remember, John said this, In John chapter 14, verse 12, he said, I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. So if someone's sick, and you say, you know what, I'm going to go take them some soup. Take them some chicken soup. Don't just take them the soup. Take them the soup and say, can I pray a prayer of healing over you? You're sick, and I know God heals. If you know that there's someone who's suffering from an addiction, don't just say, God, help them make it through another day. Say, God, deliver them from the addiction that they have. See that they're free in your mind. See that they're a different, a new creation. Pray a powerful prayer of healing over them. Maybe they've got a relationship that is just hopeless. Ask God to reconcile it. Now, I've been doing that for someone, and it just fell apart. That doesn't mean that if I pray for you, because your relationship's not good, your relationship's going to just fall apart. What it means is that God sees my fervency, he sees my passion, and if he can honor that request, he will. If he doesn't, I'm still going to pray for reconciliation. Because that's what's powerful. You get the idea. Don't be afraid to ask for a miracle. This is a day and age where everyone thinks that you know there's a prescription pill that'll take care of that, right? Sometimes we just need to pray and ask God to do what God can do. If they're sick, pray over them. There's a guy who works in a retail store, and this is not his dream job, but he needed a job, so he took it. And God had a plan for him, so he said, God, use me in this store. Use me with the people that are around me in proximity to me. And so he became friends with the manager, the boss guy. And as they talked more and more, this guy knew that he was a Christian, knew that he was, you know, religious and all that. And because of that, sometimes conversation rolled around to that. I don't know if you've noticed that, but if someone knows you're religious, they tend to, like, once in a while throw something in there just to see. Just to see if you'll react or whatever. Well, this guy, he came to work one day, and he was really down. The manager was really down. And his employee came up to him and said, hey, what's going on? Something wrong. He goes, yeah, my son, he's been sick for a long time, and today he broke out in horrible hives. He's a single dad, so he had to leave his teenage son at home, and he went off to work. And this employee says, may I pray for healing for your son? And without even thinking, the manager said, yeah, would you? Go right ahead, do it. So he walked away from the manager. He found a spot that was quiet. It happened to be the men's room. And he began to pray for this young guy, this kid at home. God, heal him. I know who you are. I know what you can do. God, to your glory, heal him. Amen. He walked out. A few minutes later, he sees the manager, and the manager's like coming at him. No joke. His son, just 2 minutes before they had seen each other, texted him, Dad, my hives are gone. The manager says, your God must be real. You see, don't be afraid of the power to pray. That prayer thing. Ask for the power of God to touch someone in a way that will make them aware that something has happened in them and to them. Another little story happened in Norway. It was funny. It's a state-run Lutheran Pentecostal church. Do you understand how ironic that all is? A state-run Lutheran Pentecostal church. They set up a healing tent in the middle of town, in the square, where people walking around all over the place, and it's said on the sign, it says, a healing prayer, free. And so people would come in, and they would pray over them, and they would leave, and they would oftentimes be healed. And the pastor said, you know, when we pray healing prayer in our church, about 10% of the time people get healed. But out here in the public square, where we're around the people who really need the touch of God, comes through about 80% of the time. When we want to bless people or serve people, we need to do it powerfully. Not just give them a cup of soup, not just give them the bottle of water, not just bring them a basket of food, but bring them the power of God. That is how we truly bless them and help them find their way back to Him. I want to conclude here. Proximity, perceptively, personally, and powerfully. It's not rocket science. I told you this from the beginning. This wasn't going to be some new revelation, but what it was is bringing all the pieces together and saying, here it is. This is how we bless. God's called us to bless. I have got a challenge for you. Here it is. In the next 24 hours, do something. When I said, who's that person who's in proximity to you? Did someone come to mind? Did someone's face come to mind? If it didn't, you might have not really been engaging and really listening. So I'm going to ask you right now, close your eyes. God, bring us into proximity to someone. Who can I serve? Who can I bless? Who can I listen to? Whoever that person is, in the next 24 hours, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, not Saturday, in the next 24 hours, have your eyes open. Have your eyes looking for that person that you can bless, that you can serve. Maybe it's maybe if you're downtown, Molly's downtown. I don't know if there are homeless people out there on during the daytime. If there's someone out there that is homeless, you might say, I'm gonna get them a hot dog at what's the hot dog place? Doghouse, not doghouse. Junkyard Dog, there it is. Maybe it's get them a burger somewhere, and take that food to them and say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Maybe it's a neighbor who's grieving over something they've got a whole bunch of people in front of their house or the cars are parked out there, and you just send a text to them, is everything okay? You might find out that not everything's okay. And you say, can I pray for you? I'll come over after everyone else is gone. Let me come over and pray for you. Yeah. Anything like that. But be aware. Don't just go about your day without perceptivity. Go about your day wanting to make a difference and bless somebody. Got it? Got it? Remember, we are the people that God has chosen to bless the world. We reach out to those around us. We want to restore God's dream where it's been broken. We want to reproduce the mission in other people. Why? So that the mission of God can be accomplished, that people would find their way back to Him. That's what will bring the church back online, not online on the internet, but back online, doing the work that the enemy has been trying to stop the church from doing. I want to pray for us. Father, take this word today. I pray, God, you'd multiply it in our hearts, that you would impress it upon our hearts, just press it into our hearts, that when we serve people, we get to bless them. And as we bless them, they're one step closer to knowing you. God, I thank you and I praise you today that you're raising up people who want to be your hands and your feet in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. As we go to our table groups, if you don't have a table group, you just want to be a part of discussion, the tables are set up. You just find a table and go sit down at it. Matthew West has a song called Do Something, and as we're leaving today, they're going to be playing that. So take a listen. God bless you.